to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by Joseph Heumeier, a man who these days serves as the executive director of the highly regarded Center for a Secure Free Society, formerly with the Atlas Economic Research Foundation, and also an 8-year veteran of the United States Marine Corps, which entailed combat tours in Iraq and Liberia. He is also the author of an important and highly topical book, Iran's Strategic Penetration of Latin America, topic we want to visit with him about, as a matter of fact. Joseph Heumeier, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure to be on.
So there's an increasing level of awareness, it seems, and a heightened concern about not just what Iran is doing elsewhere, as we've been talking about with our previous guests, Joseph, but also what it's up to here, both in its own right. When I say here, I mean in our hemisphere, but also really literally here in our own country. What we are looking at in terms of the involvement of both the government of Iran and its proxy Hezbollah throughout this region, what can you shed light on that we ought to be concerned about?
I think the most important thing for your listeners to pay attention to right now is Venezuela. They're all over. Iran and Hezbollah have presence all over Latin America, I'd say all over the Western Hemisphere, including the United States and Canada. But more precariously, they've advanced tremendously in Venezuela. The appointment of the new Venezuelan vice president, Tarek El Asami, was a power move on behalf of the Iranians in conjunction with the Cubans to essentially take control of that country. And if you look carefully at what the new vice president's doing, consolidating the executive power, basically putting his proxies or his loyalists in different agencies and different ministries, they're essentially consolidating their power. And in Venezuela, the question is, how far are they going to go and to what end? Venezuela is a country in a very dire situation economically, politically, and at any moment could break into any kind of civil conflict or potentially even a civil war. You made a good point in saying that the Iranian presence is spread throughout the hemisphere, including in our own country here in the United States, and I would include also up north in Canada. And that's an important point in that, you know, through the research that I've done on their presence in Latin America, I noticed a lot of the connections between certain countries in Latin America with North America, with the United States and Canada. I'll give you a small example. When the former Canadian government under the Harper administration shut down the Iranian embassy in Ottawa in 2012, if you remember, they closed diplomatic relations with the Iranians in 2012. When they closed the embassy in Ottawa, instead of the Iranians that were stationed at that embassy, instead of them going back to Tehran or going back to the Middle East, they actually just shuffled a lot of them down to Cuba and other embassies and some into Ecuador and other embassies in Latin America, which is indicative to me that they see the Western Hemisphere as one hemisphere. So whatever operations they're conducting in Venezuela, in Ecuador, in Mexico, and other parts of Latin America, it's in conjunction with whatever they're doing here in the United States and up north in Canada, and it's a cohesive strategy.
And to the extent that we know the thrust of that strategy, Joseph Heumeier, is there any question in your mind that it is hostile to us and a threat?
No, I believe so. I believe they, you know, Iran, I think we have to couch their politics in the lens of a revolution. I mean, it's essentially a revolution. It's a revolution with borders. It plays the facade of a Wisconsin type of nation state. But in reality, they think they act like revolutionaries, and revolutionaries need enemies. And their enemies, I believe, are in the United States. Anything they do on this side of the world, things that they do in the Middle East sometimes are directed towards Israel. They might be directed towards Saudi Arabia and other that are more immediate challenges in their near abroad. But things they do on this side of the world are, by and large, in my estimation, geared against the United States. They're a part of an effort to delegitimize the United States and diminish our influence in the Western Hemisphere.
Okay, so Joseph Heumeier, let's talk a little bit about some of those things that they're doing in Venezuela and in Mexico that have as their purpose undermining and perhaps seriously endangering this country.
Yeah, well, I think one of the most precarious things that they've been doing, especially as of late, is the positioning of Hezbollah operatives. So Hezbollah, this is a big debate within the defense community. You know, the folks that work with Hezbollah in Latin America, how much are they properly embedded into the Hezbollah hierarchy in terms of an operational structure? And how many of them are just collaborators that are basically making money off the drug trade and have Lebanese or Syrian connections? And so they help Hezbollah move some of this money. There's definitely an element that are collaborative. I mean, the Syrian and Lebanese diasporas in Latin America that predate the birth of Hezbollah. So there's definitely an element that I think is collaboration. But more important, I think, especially in the last decade, we've seen the positioning of Hezbollah operatives from the Middle East. I'll give you one example. I'm involved in a terrorism trial in Peru, in Lima, Peru, where an individual, Lebanese national, was sent to Peru from Lebanon in 2014. Actually, he was sent in 2013. He was arrested in 2014 because the Peruvian police found him with over 1,000 pictures of critical infrastructure in his electronic devices and nitroglycerin on his left hand and within his apartment. This individual was not part of that collaborative network. He was not even a part of that drug trafficking network. He was a jihadist. He was an individual that was looking to plan an attack and potentially carry out a bombing.
In Peru?
He's now under arrest in Peru, in Lima, Peru, in 2014. He's now under trial. And I think within a month, we'll know if they convict him. And what they would convict him of is not of, you know, any kind of other criminal charges. They would convict him of membership in a terrorist organization. That would be a de facto designation of Hezbollah as a terrorist organization in Peru, which would be a precedent, a legal precedent in Latin America.
And you are serving as an expert witness, I assume, on the case?
Correct. I'm an expert witness to that trial. I testified back in October. I testified again last month. And so I think the trial is pretty much coming to its final phase. So hopefully this will lead to a conviction.
And an important precedent, as you say. Joseph, let me just quickly, on passports that the Venezuelan government is issuing to some of these Middle Eastern sorts, whether they're out of Iran or Lebanon or elsewhere, how serious a problem does that represent? And also, if you would, talk a little bit about the tunnels that Hezbollah is expert in building in South Lebanon, notably, and I guess in Gaza as well for Hamas, but apparently on our own border as well.
Yeah, thanks, Frank, for reminding me of that. The passport issue is very precarious. It's very important and it's urgent. You know, I don't think I thought of it initially because it's been going on for so long. The service of providing immigration documents to members of Lebanese Hezbollah, or at least suspected members of Lebanese Hezbollah, has been going on for decades. It's really took an uptick after 2008 when the now Venezuelan vice minister was then Minister of Interior. And he essentially created a pipeline through the Ministry of Interior of Venezuela to allow all kinds of militants from the Middle East, but namely Hezbollah members, to receive this documentation. The most concerning aspect of it is not just the fact that they got a passport. It's actually the complete creation of a dual identity, a chain of custody of immigration documents or identification documents, including birth certificates, driver's license, national IDs, visas, all kinds of, so that you can essentially establish somebody as if they were born in another country. So you could take someone from Lebanon and you could essentially establish him in Venezuela and create a legitimate record of him, a documentation, a record in Venezuela. So that for U.S. authorities is impossible to track. And if we get a visa application from somebody from Venezuela, quote unquote, we won't know if that person was originally from Lebanon. There's no way for us to really have that unless we have a whistleblower or somebody working human intelligence on the ground. So that's a really big concern in light of all the immigration security challenges that we face as a nation.
And very quickly, the tunnels under the Mexican border?
Yeah, that's something that, you know, I've looked into since about 2002. There's been an increasing presence of Hezbollah members in Mexico in correlation with the building of very elaborate tunnels that move particularly through the El Paso corridor in Texas that go into El Paso to what's that state called? What? I can't remember the other side of
Juarez
on the Mexican side, but Juarez, exactly. The Juarez El Paso corridor, which was at the time Sinaloa territory. And those tunnels have electrical systems. They have ventilation systems. I mean, it's far more sophisticated than what the Mexicans had the capability, the drug cartels had the capability to do in the past. And it's largely suspected that Hezbollah has provided them because it correlates with the same time that Hezbollah became increasingly present in that country.
Yeah, and we know that they have considerable experience doing this sort of engineering work to the detriment of our friends in Israel and others. We have to leave it at that. Joseph Heumeier, thank you so much for the great work you do at the Center for a Secure, Free Society and for joining us from time to time. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. And the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.